Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Good morning, good morning. We're here at Great Commission, another day at Sunday School where the Holy Spirit teaches.
Amen.
Glad to see everybody this morning. We're starting part three of our Bible Basics class. We got on another subject last time, but we're starting part three of Bible Basics. We've decided to go back to the basics. Back to the basics in the Bible. That's what we need these days.
Amen.
As we were out at the courthouse a couple of weeks ago, I noticed that there's a great need for Bible basics.
Amen. Amen.
In part one in Bible Basics, we covered the authority of God's Word, the Bible. Mm-hmm. That's what we live by. That's what our authority is. The Bible and the Bible only. Not history books, not commentaries, not other books, the Bible. Not science, the Bible.
Amen.
The Holy Bible. That's our authority.
Yes, Lord.
Part two, we talked about creation.
Right.
We talked about creation and the glory of God that is withheld in creation. That's what we talked about there and how understanding creation gives us a better glimpse of who God is.
Amen.
God is the creator.
The creator.
The only creator.
Thank you, Lord.
Creation is making something out of nothing.
Yes.
That's what we found out. We found out that God created everything.
Everything.
And lastly, He created man. This class, part three, is going to be about sin.
Okay,
all right. Not the acts of sin, but sin itself. What is sin? Once we have the Bible basics on what sin is, I believe that we can handle sin better. We can confront it better. We can present the gospel better.
All right.
Once we understand the biblical basics of what sin is. We're going to cover some, it's going to be two parts to this, but we're going to cover some understanding of sin. We're going to have the remedy of sin, the consequences of sin, the meaning of sin, the beginning of sin, the effects of sin. All these things sin has done in our lives. And once we get the Bible basics of what sin is, we can read the Bible in a different light. We can understand God and our relationship with God. We can present the gospel better to those that are unsaved. We can stop putting all these blames on God and blaming on what it's really about, on why things really occur. We can get to the root cause of what's happening in this world, which is surrounded by the subject of sin.
Amen.
Sin.
Amen.
We need to understand that. So we've talked about God's Word. We've talked about creation. Now we're going to cover sin. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer and start. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of teaching. We thank you for this Sunday school lesson. We thank you for those that are coming, those that are here. Dear Lord, we pray that you teach today and soften our hearts and minds to hear what we have to know on this subject from you. Dear Lord, as we learn more about sin, we'll learn more about ourselves. We'll learn more about our relationship with you, dear Lord, and learn the Bible basics on what we need to present as witnesses. Dear Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sin. Before we get into sin, we have to talk just a little more about creation and understand how sin has affected us. So let's talk about first, as we're getting into sin, let's talk about the life of man. The life of man. How man was created. We know that man was created lastly in the image of God. And in the likeness of God.
Right.
We know that.
Amen.
No other creature, no other creation was created in that way.
No.
Man was created in the image of God. If I look in a mirror, I see my image. So we look like God, right? We were made in the likeness of God. I'm like my daddy. I have the nature. I have the abilities. I have that, the same little personality of my daddy. You've heard that term. So we're made in the image and in the likeness of God. But what I'm going to talk about today, before we get into sin, to understand sin better, is that we're also a triune being. Like God. Like God. We're going to get into this much later as far as the Trinity. That's a Bible basics that we kind of struggle with. But God, the one true God, has presented himself in three different ways. That's what the Trinity is. The unity of three different personalities. This one God has done. We were created in that same sense. We have three lives. Now, you know, when we go into this, people want to make it seem all spooky and you know, supernatural and, you know, EST and psychics. But we're talking about the Bible basics of the life of man. Once we know more about ourselves as a created being, we can understand and read the Bible better about us. It makes more sense. So right now, the Bible teaches the life of man has three lives. We're a triune being, just like God. The first life we have is a physical life. We have a body. We're not a body. We have a body. We understand that? Let's go to Genesis 2:7. We're taking our time with this Bible study. We're not in a rush. We're taking our time and learning about ourselves.
Amen.
To be able to read the Bible, interpret the Bible better, understand what certain scriptures are saying, to understand sin. The first life, or one of the lives that we have, is a physical life.
Right.
A physical life. That is our body.
Right.
We have a body. We are not a body.
Right.
So in this shell, in this flesh, the true Kelvin is inside.
Right.
The true Kelvin that's in the image and likeness of God is inside.
Right.
And those two other components is a psychic or a soulish life. And a spiritual life. We have a spiritual life. We have a soulish life, a psychological life. And those are the two things. Those are the two things that were made in the image of God that lives forever. God is eternal. So are we. If we're made in the image. The psychic and the spiritual side of us lives eternally. One day this physical life is going to die. It's going to die. It's going to wear out, go away. But that just applies to the physical body. Do we understand that? If we are eternal psychologically and spiritually, then we leave this body, or this body leaves us. It goes to the ground and we go someplace else. That's where sin comes in. That's where the determination of where we go comes in. So we have to understand that we are three different parts. So let's look at this now. Genesis 2:7. We see during the creation, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So, we have these components right here. We have the breath of life, which consists of the psychic and the spiritual life. And then we have the body that God formed. He didn't create that. He formed it. Creation is making some out of nothing, so He did not form that. He did not create that. He formed it from the ground. A little suit, a little dirt suit. And He breathed the likeness and image in that dirt suit to animate it. Do we understand who we are? Amen. We understand that? So we see here that we have a physical life, a psychic, a psychological life, and a spiritual life. Right here in 2:7. The breath of life. It's spiritual. But something happened. We were in fellowship with God. We were in fellowship with God. But what broke that fellowship? Something happened. And what was that?
Sin.
Sin happened. And it shows you the effect of sin. Let's look at the illustration of marriage. Right? It's a spiritual thing. And we are put together one flesh that has nothing to do with my physical body. But before God, we are together spiritually. Well, it's the same way. It has nothing to do with my spiritual body, my physical body, but we are separated spiritually. Divorce, the same way. That one flesh is torn apart spiritually. It has nothing to do with my physical body.
No.
We are spiritually separated from God.
That's right.
But let's get into what sin is first, and we'll see how that has affected the three parts of us.
Okay?
What is sin? Can anybody tell me, give me an idea of what sin is?
Rebellion against God.
Transgression. Good. That's what sin is. Let's go to a few scriptural descriptions of what sin is. Romans 6:23 is a good one. Let's go to that first. We're just looking at some scriptural descriptions of what sin is, and then we will witness the first sin ever committed, and then we will see why we're in the situation we're in today. Romans 6:23, but I just wanted you to understand the life of man first to see how sin has affected us.
Okay.
Romans 6:23 is a definition of what sin is. Well, let's go to 3:23. That's a better definition.
Okay,
Romans 3:23. And it reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Sin is falling short of the glory of God. That's what sin is. Falling short of the glory of God. Right now, if I could physically throw a football to Bessemer, let's just say that's the glory of God. Now, you may throw it farther than me, but we all fall short. You see? If the glory of God is physically throwing a football to Bessemer, I may throw it one distance, you may throw it one distance, but we all fall short. That's what sin is, falling short of the glory of God. Let's give a few more plainer descriptions. Let's go to 1 John 3:4. First 1 John 3:4. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth against also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. It's the transgression, the breaking of the law. The law. What's the law? It's God's word, correct? The breaking of His word. Transgression. The breaking of His word. Now let's go to some real plain ones here. These for the people in the street. You gotta just be plain with some folks. We've been biblically correct. We've been politically correct. Now let's just break it on down for Ray right now, okay? Romans 5:19. The Bible got something for all of us to understand. And these scriptures right here for those that, you know, they want to act like they don't understand the Bible, but these plain. Romans 5:19. These are the ones that I use in the street witnessing or telling folks. Romans 5:19. For as by one man's what? Disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Sin is disobedience. Just plain out disobedience. That's what sin is. Everybody know what disobedience is, right?
Amen.
Right? Ephesians 2:2.
Now, we don't agree with the Muslims, do we?
No.
Okay. But they believe in Sharia law. You break their law, and they're going to cut your head off. Huh? See, we don't believe in God's law. We don't care about God's law. That's why we got the anarchy and the problem we got in our jails are full today, because we won't carry out the law. Now, the Muslims want to institute Sharia law, because if you steal, they're going to cut your head off.
That's right.
Huh? You understand what I'm saying? They believe in carrying out the law. And very few people are going to break that law because they're afraid.
Right.
But America got so soft. Our prisons are full because we won't carry out God's law that people break every day.
What did I say? Ephesians 2:2. Y'all got it? Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience. John 16:9. Another plain scripture of what sin is. People act like they don't know what it is, or they don't do it. They haven't done it. Oh, not me. We can give these scriptures to let them know that they are sinners. John 16:9 says, of sin, because they believe not on me. How plain can you get there? Sin is disbelief. Sin is disbelief. And the Holy Spirit convicts us not of fornication, not of the act of lying or stealing. He convicts us of the disbelief that we have. Of the disbelief that we refuse to accept what God has done for us on the cross.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit does, our silent partner. Last one.
Okay.
Luke 19:14. And then we'll witness the first act of disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
19:14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. That's what sin is. Rejection. That's what sin is. Me sending you a letter saying, hey man, I ain't doing this. That's what sin is. Do you see that?
Every king rules by his law.
Amen.
Every kingdom is ruled by the law. And when the law is not adhered to, the people are supposed to be punished. And that's why we broke God's law, and we were supposed to be punished. And Jesus took that for us. Amen.
Any more comments? All right. Let's go to Genesis 3. So we see that sin is disobedience. Sin is me telling you I'm going to do what I want to do. Sin is unbelief. We see all these things. Amen. We see that sin is breaking God's law. Let's back it up to 2:17 first.
Genesis 2:17.
We witnessed the first sin happening here.
Okay.
Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. This is God. Law.
That's right.
Talking to Adam.
That's right.
He told Adam directly,
That's right.
Don't eat of that tree over there. Don't eat.
That's right.
Isn't that God's law?
Amen.
And Adam did what? He transgressed. Adam did what? He disobeyed. Adam did what? He unbelieved.
That's right.
Right?
That's right?
Adam sinned.
That's, right.
That's what he did. Now, what I want y'all to see here is that Eve was nowhere around.
That's right.
This is for the unsaved now. Eve was nowhere around. But Eve still reaped the punishment of not doing God's law. So, it does not matter if you know God's word or not. That's my point. It does not matter if you know God's word or not when it comes to disobedience. When it comes to sin, I said it, you didn't do it, you have sinned.
Okay.
We're not talking about certain acts of sin, we're talking about just sin, period. The nature of sin. She was nowhere around. God was talking to Adam directly, but she still reaped the consequences of disobeying. Because she did disobey too.
Right?
Let's keep that in mind. The unsaved need to know that. Well, I didn't know that. Still strike one. Still strike one. We see that?
That's what they said, Kevin, the Gentiles didn't have it long. But it was written in their heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good point. That's a good point. It was something in them that they knew the basics of right and wrong. As she was being subdued by the serpent, it was something in her that said, you know, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. And for that, strike one.
We were made in the image of God, though, right?
Right.
So that holiness was there all the time.
Amen.
And the moment she began to do opposite what was of a holy God, she knew she was doing wrong. You know, it was just ingrained altogether, you know.
So that's why I have no excuse.
Amen.
I dealt with a similar situation this week at work. Like, this guy posed a question to me. I was presenting the gospel to him. They messed around and sent me down to the port, so I had him in the woods all day just laying down.
That's a good place.
Yeah. So, and he posed a question to me. He said, so you mean if I grew up in a Muslim family across the water somewhere, and I've been Muslim all my life, and that's all I ever known, and I died, God's going to send me to hell? I said, well, number one, God ain't going to send you to hell.
That's good.
Get that straight first. God ain't going to send you to hell. I said, now, your rejection of his son was sent you. And then God is in the Muslim countries, too. That's number one.
Amen. Good.
He brought up this deal about being raised in the bush and not never hearing the word. I said, so you mean to tell me if you've been in a barn all your life and I bring you out, you wouldn't know it's wrong to kill the first man you see?
Mm. Good.
You know, I said, some things are just in your heart. It's always written on your heart. And you guilt our ass just like not believing he's the creator, and you looking at these beautiful trees and mountains every day. It's something that's going to convict you off the bat. You know, it takes a dog a hard heart to reject what you're looking at.
Right.
What you're looking at, you know it to be true, but because you don't want to follow these laws Kevin talking about here, you're going to reject it anyway. The Bible said, man, do what's right in his own heart. In those days, there was no king in Israel. That's what the United States is coming to right now. They don't want no rule. No rule over them. And that's the problem we got now. People will close their eyes to what's going on as if they don't know. I don't know. Like that's going to get you out of camp. They told you. That's right one anyway. But at least let me go down fighting, trying to do right.
You know, I've had co-workers that are not saved to speak up about the gay marriage.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just like they may not know the word and read the word of God, but they know in their heart
that's wrong.
That a man and a man ain't supposed to be together.
Amen.
These are sinners.
Amen.
You know, they're speaking up in their heart. Like I said, they haven't read the word, they've heard the word. You know, a man leave mother and father and, you know, and cleave to his wife and become one flesh. They've heard that over the years and years, and it's instilled in their heart that this is true.
Good.
So when they hear this and they see this, they speaking up about
good.
It. Because they know within their heart is wrong. It's sin. It's sin. They call it sin what it is.
Very good example. Very good.
Praise God. You know, like Pastor said, you know, and Kevin said, we first of all, we created in his image. So we have not only we created in his image, we created in his likeness.
Amen.
In his likeness also. So the spirit that he put in us, besides the image of him, is his spirit also.
That's right.
As Christians. So we have to realize, and then, you know, no excuse when God comes back. He already said, man will be without excuse. Because no one is going to leave this earth without hearing the gospel. Nobody, no human being that he created is going to ever leave this earth without hearing the gospel. Except their little babies, and of course we know.
Referring to what Milton said earlier about a sinner, they do know that their homosexuality is wrong, because I had experience this week that one lady was saying, she said, don't they know it takes a man and a woman to make a baby?
So let's witness the origin. We're in the book of the beginnings. We're in Genesis. We're in 3. Well, no, we're in 3:1
now.
Yeah, yeah. In 2:17, we see where God had gave Adam the law.
Right.
Where God had gave Adam the word of what not to do. Mm-hmm. Of what not to do.
Alright.
Now we're in 3:1. And this is the origin of sin, or what they call the fall. The fall of man. This is where sin came from, right here.
Okay.
Genesis 3:1.
3:1.
Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?
Mm-hmm.
Doubt. Doubt. Doubt brings sin. Do we see that? When a person is doubting in his mind about God, who he is, about salvation, he's right there on the edge of sinning. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. So we see that she knew. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden,
God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So we see that Eve did know. I guess her and Adam had a talk. We didn't see that, but her and Adam had a talk, and they know. She knew. So we knew that. People know the word, but they're not grounded enough that when we come up to them and ask them a question, even though they know the word, they'd be like, you know, I don't know. If you go out there at that courthouse and hear some of them people say the same scriptures you say, if you're not grounded, they will have you dizzy. They will have you dizzy. They will have you dizzy.
Not only that, Eve actually added to the word of God, because the tree of life was in the midst.
Amen.
So was the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Gotcha.
They were both in the midst.
Gotcha.
And God had said you can eat of all of the trees except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God actually, from the initial beginning of time, wanted to be inside of man.
Amen.
He wanted Adam to eat from the tree of life. That was in the midst. So we see where she contradicted him. And he wouldn't have needed to eat but a little, because what would have happened when God breathed into man, God gave man a part of him.
Amen.
Which is the breath of life.
Right.
And man became that three part, which is a body. He formed man. He breathed in him. And then God gave him a spirit. But if he had eaten from the tree of life, the Holy Spirit would have automatically gone into man, and man would have been saved initially from the beginning.
Amen.
But man became a living soul.
Right.
And that's the soul that God say, the soul that sins shall die, not the spirit that sins, because the spirit goes back to God.
Right.
Amen.
So God wanted to be in man.
Right.
And that's what the Bible, from the initial beginning, it's a progressive of God's word, how he works himself into man after the fall. So she heard that, but she added to it, and that's what the world is saying. You know, there is sin, but God love us. So God won't send us to hell. The world is adding to sin. What, can God love homosexuals? Yes, he can. But the soul that sins, it's going to die.
Amen.
And see, and that's our word to let them know.
Amen.
It's not that God don't love you. So an atheist got God's spirit in him.
Right.
A homosexual got God's spirit in him, but he needs the filling of the Holy Spirit to become a child of God.
Amen. Amen. Good. That's very good.
And the serpent, he presented that tree as, he disregarded the disobedience factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He goes, that tree, man, that's a good tree, man. You know, you gotta need to take a bite of that tree, you know. But it was just disobedience.
Right.
It ain't that the tree gonna kill them.
Right.
Huh? It's just disobedience.
It's the transgression, right.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
And that's what the whole premise is obedience. And I say to any saved person in here, your salvation is based on your obedience. Because he said, if you love me or you obey me. Now you can find out in your own heart whether you are saved this morning or not, with your degree of obedience to God.
3:4.
Genesis 3:4.
We're looking at the origins of sin, where sin come from. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So we see now that both parties disobey God's word. And we said earlier that disobeying God's word is what we call sin. Disobedience, transgression. That's where it first happened at. But now we're about to get into the whole theme of the lesson, which is what does sin do? Let's go to 14. We'll just skip over to 14 and see what sin does. And I want you to see something here. Okay. That sin involves all parties. Okay? Sin involves all parties that were involved in this incident. The man, the woman, and the serpent. And the serpent. None of them. Whatever degree that you participate in sin, it's still sin. And God, all of it. Yeah. So see, that's what I wanted. Right. Now, just a little bit. A white lie is still sin. I want you to see that we're not talking about acts of sin today. We're talking about sin. Yes.
Sin is also premeditated, because it's basically like you already thought on it, and then you participated in it. It came to your mind, and God, whenever I'm finna do something that's wrong or right or whatever, it's like the Spirit lets me know that it's something wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm inside something saying, "Go ahead, it's okay."
Right.
And then over here, it's like you know you're not supposed to do it, so it's your choice whether you choose or not.
Amen. Amen. We saw that. We gave that example. We gave that example that the Holy Spirit is to convict us of unbelief. Not of what I'm doing, but of disbelief. She said herself when she's prompted in her mind not to do it, the Holy Spirit. And she like, "Well, I hear you, but I don't believe that. I'm going to do it anyway." He convicts us of the unbelief. Sin is unbelief.
The fact that there's a battle raging, though.
Yeah.
The fact that there's a battle, that ain't a bad thing. You know, something tell cause I remember, and I'm sure most of us do, when we was out there, did nothing tap me and say, "Hey, you know better." Did nothing tap me, so that's a good thing in itself. If it feels good, do it. That was the thing.
That was the thing. If you got a battle raging, you have a demon spot. Let's just get in God's word and let the battle and fight the battle off.
Genesis 3:14. We're looking at the repercussions of sin now. We're looking at the repercussions of the disobedience of the original sin, the first sin. How we got in this mess. And I think once we see this, we can understand sin better. We can confront sin. We know ourselves better. We can read the Bible in a better context. 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." So this is the consequences of sin. Obviously, Eve, until now, was going to conceive children without pain. Sin brings pain. Right? So we see that the serpent is affected by the sin. Eve is affected by the sin. And unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife." Of thy wife. Not me. Of thy wife. I told you before she did. But you listened to her. Didn't Abraham listen to Sarah? You listened to that woman. Or someone else, period. You listen to someone else when you knew my word. You transgressed my law. You have sinned. You disobeyed. You didn't believe. All this is sin. And unto Adam he said, behold, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy woman, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, because of you. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken. Listen, this is what I want you to get about. This is why I told you about the three lives that we have. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. He told Adam that he would die. When is he going to die? That day. That day. But he also told Adam that you're going to go back to the ground. So he's addressing his physical body, the physical life that he has. That's one reason why we die. Because of the curse that sin has brought upon us. Physical death. But he died twice. He died spiritually also. So the curse brings on physical death. That's why we die. That's why sickness is here. Because of sin. So as we're presenting the gospel, as people are blaming things on God, let's get it off God and let's put it on what the real problem is. Sin. Sin. Right here, God cursed him. He chastised him right then and said, you're going back to the ground. But yet, he continued to live. Yet, he was told he was going to die. Right? Let's think about this. So he was spiritually dead that day. But he's also going to physically die. He was going to live forever. But, right, was. But now he's dying a physical death because God has cursed him to go back to the ground. But he lived over 900 years old. Right? So what is this spiritual death? That's what we have today. Spiritual death. In our spiritual life, we now have spiritual death. People don't understand that they are spiritually dead. People every day are going about their business in their physical life. And in their psychic life, they are alive. But at the same time, spiritually dead. Just like Adam was. So let's look at that. 3:22. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Chastisement and grace at the same time. Chastisement and mercy at the same time. I don't want you to live in this state. I don't want you to live like you are forever this way. I don't want you to live that way. God loved us, and later on in the story we will see that he loved us so much that he gave us a way out. Amen? He gave us a way out. He's a lover. You know, we think about us having to love God, but God loved us. And this is a picture of his love right here. At the same time, he spanked Adam though, didn't he? Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I'm driving you out. That's spiritual death. He did die that day. He was created in the presence of God. He had spiritual life. But sin broke that. Now he's spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. disconnected from God. That's how we're born, and that's how most of us are today. Disconnected from God. Right? We are no longer reaping the good pleasure of the fellowship. Revelation say that he made us for his pleasure. God is heartbroken now because he cannot have that pleasure that he intended. Because we are spiritually dead. The Bible called it enemies. We're enemies of God now. That grieves God. But we need to know as we present the gospel that we are enemies of God. For those who are not in union with God, those that are spiritually dead. Do we understand that? So now the Bible comes to life even more. Let me show you what I mean. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 1. See? Bible students, see? Go ahead, Herb.
Question.
Go ahead.
May seem kind of simple, but since we're talking about the spiritual death of Adam, My question is, did Adam go to hell? Did he die and go to hell eventually, or did he go to heaven? Do you know?
Yeah, I know. Adam was saved. Adam was saved. Yeah, I can show you that. Let's go to. Go ahead. Who? Yes, go ahead.
Another question is that the Bible let us know that God knows the answer. We don't know. I don't know if you're saved. You don't know if I'm saved. But we know that Adam passed down sacrifices because his son, Abel, knew how to sacrifice. And I'm sure that trespass broke the
fellowship
where he used to walk and talk with God. And when he sinned, he broke that fellowship where his spirit was still there, but it didn't have the life of God.
Right, that's right.
And his soul went back to the ground. His soul and body went back. Well, we teach that the soul live on. But the Bible tell you the soul that sin dies. So it's the spirit that goes back to God, which means every unsaved person got a spirit, but it don't have the lamp. Proverbs 20 and 27 say, the word of God is a lamp. It seeks out and show you how to see sin like God sees sin. That's where conviction comes from God, and you get saved in your spirit. So, but that spirit had a disconnect. So he was dead in trespasses and sin. So he was dead, which means that he didn't have a telephone hookup no more. Where he couldn't hear from God, and God wasn't listening to him. But it's something even in an atheist, and that's what we got to tell them when we witness to them. They got a spirit. And on their bed, they wonder sometimes if God is really real. They have to because they got a breath of life that was a degree lower than the Holy Spirit. The breath of life they got just put a spirit into every person coming to this world with a spirit.
Amen.
But they have a disc. You have a phone in your house, but if it's not connected, you got a phone, but it's disconnected. So it's like, Minister Pierce say, it's like it's dead. Your phone is dead. But in a sense, it's available, but if the word of God come in there, it can hook back up. You can call and pay the phone bill, they'll hook it back up. You repent of your sin and accept the gift of God, your sleeping, slumbering spirit awake back up. It only connects back to who gave it to it because it only know the owner. You can't call me, I can't hook your phone up. But if you call Bell South, they own it. They can hook you back up. And so that's what we have to let them know. You may not want to accept God, but you got his spirit inside of you. And one day when you die, he going to get it back. The spirit goes back to God. So as far as Adam, I believe he was saved, as Minister Houston said, because of the covenant, the blood.
Yeah.
God covered him in Eve.
And that's righteous
why he
cloth.
Covered them with a sheepskin.
Different cloth, right.
It was a different.
Mm-hmm.
And the animal came from the ground. We came from the ground.
That's right.
We got the image of God in us. That's what makes us different. We go back to God.
Amen. That's right. Does that help you? Does that ask a question? Okay. Ephesians 2:1.
2:1, okay.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin.
We're dead. We're dead.
So that makes that scripture come to life now.
Yes,
sir.
That's right. Dead.
We were dead. He was talking to a church full of living folks. He was talking to the church at that time. You were dead. Dead how? Spiritually dead. Spiritual death. Now we have an opportunity to be spiritually alive again through Jesus Christ. But most of us are spiritually dead. Most of us are disconnected from God. See, and only God can give life. Spiritual life comes from God. Spiritual life or eternal life comes from God. So the way that we are in the future will be eternal. Think of it that way. The next time we live or die, it will be eternally.
Kevin, the first life that in the creation, they had God's life, but eternal life was in the tree.
Right.
The tree
good.
Christ.
Good. That's right. So, yeah, we're talking eternal, right?
Christ, who was yet to come, would be the stabilizer, even though the initial thing is what the life of God, that their creation.
Right.
But eternal, they didn't get a chance to get to that tree.
Right.
So the devil going to try to keep them away from that one. He wanted to direct them to the other one.
Right.
Before they got to the.
Right.
Eternal right.
Amen.
That's a good. So I want you to understand that we're talking about eternally now.
Yes.
We had a spiritual life.
Yes. Right.
We became spiritually dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can be eternally dead or eternally alive.
Right. Do the tree again. Back to the tree.
Right. Do we get that? So I want you to understand the effects of sin and how that has worked.
Yes.
Let's look at Romans 6:23, and it talks about both sides of the fence right here. This is one of the better scriptures to make us understand this.
Okay.
Romans 6:23. If you got to say amen.
Amen.
Won't you? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So we see that we're spiritually dead. We're spiritually dead, but there's a gift that God has given us through the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us that spiritual life, that eternal life. Now, when we're talking here, we're not talking about physically dying. We're talking about eternally, spiritually dying. Because he had already been cursed to die. So that's just one little side effect. But we're talking about the ultimate wage is eternal death. Eternal separation. Eternal spiritual death. So when we say that we're lost or unsaved, these people are spiritually disconnected from God.
Amen.
And what has done that? The sin in their lives.
Amen.
The sin has done that.
Yes.
Sin has done that.
Amen.
Let me show you how intense sin is. 1 Corinthians 15. And if you don't have any comments after this, we'll close. 15:22. First Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Amen.
So once again, we see the answer for this spiritual death that we have. The finished work of the person, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Jesus Christ said that He is the life. He is that spiritual life that we need, those that are spiritually dead. And all in Adam are dead. Look at the consequences and the power of sin. We say that Adam was redeemed, but through his seed, look how sin permeated in his body through his seed to carry on. We talked about the consequences of sin. He still had the consequences of the choice that he made in his body. From his corruptible body, from the curse. See, let's think about it now. He's dying. He was dying. So from his dying body, his seed became corruptible. And that's where sin comes from. In all of those who come from Adam. Salvation is only available to those from Adam. They talk about saving cats and dogs. They talk about saving Bigfoot and mermaids. They're not from Adam. Angels are not from Adam. Salvation is not. That's right. So when they start talking all crazy in this New Age stuff, if you're not from Adam, salvation is not even available to you. But if you are from Adam, if you're a Muslim, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhist, Mormon, if you come from the lineage of Adam, salvation is available to you, and they tell you how. In Christ. Do we see that? Do we understand sin a little better now? Our three lives that we've been given. Spiritual death.
Which is the second Adam. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the second Adam.
Amen.
And also, what we have to realize that this body, our body belongs to God. Yeah. It's not our own. What we do in this life greatly, you know, concerns God. It matters to God what we do with our body.
Christ, remember that Christ, like I said, he was represented as that tree in the garden. And in the book of Psalms, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And in the book of Luke, if you can do these things to a green tree. Call him a green tree. What's going to happen to the dries?
Amen. So we talked about sin today. And when we go out as witnesses, we may call it lying, stealing, murdering, fornicating. We may call it that. But God calls it sin. Do we see? So let's not compartmentalize as we're going out so much. Rather than talk about the issue of sin that's in everybody's life. Right? When we go out and witness, we have two things in common with everybody. What? We all die and we've all sinned. And we're talking about the origins of sin today and how it's affected us. And it has most of us spiritually dead.
You know, and you talked about from the beginning, Kevin, when the serpent Adam and Eve, and it said all have sinned.
All
sinned from the beginning, and all sinned at the end.
Amen.
You know, but like I said, the promise is in Christ. You know, and that's what non-believers and those that don't know Him don't understand.
Right.
You know, it ain't Buddha, it ain't Joseph Smith.
Right.
It ain't Muhammad.
Amen.
It's in Christ.
Right.
You know, that we can have this promise of a new life and being saved and sanctified.
We can have that spiritual life, the remedy to our spiritual death in Christ. In Christ.
And as y'all see, this ain't new. We didn't invent this trying to cover up your mess either. You see in the garden, Adam and Eve, the first thing they did instead of falling on their face and then asking the Lord to forgive them, they tried to cover it themselves.
Pass the buck.
They had to see that they covering wasn't going to work.
Amen.
Before you ever even go to God and ask for forgiveness. So this is nothing new, y'all.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. Yeah, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So, you know, but the closer you get to Him, the faster that conviction comes and the faster you'll fall on your face and go to the one who can cover you. You know, who can cover you? But we got to, just like Minister Pierce said, we got to start from the basics. See, Satan is subtle, and he's crafty. He's trying to tear it up from the foundation. If I discredit Genesis, how you going to get the end of it all about?
Right, amen.
And Genesis is a very important passage, y'all. We know that. A lot of realistic stuff that they want to pass off as fable and fairy tale happened in Genesis. In Genesis. And we got churches that say, well, we believe in the creation, but we're going to mix a little of this other stuff in there to make it sound more believable. Now you ain't dealing with the Word of God no more. That ain't God's Word. That's your Word now.
That's
your, and ain't no power in your Word.
Right.
Let's stick to Genesis, y'all. Stick to the true biblical creation and peddle that. And God got the power to get it right out there. Let's peddle that. Do that like he called us to do.
Amen.
Milt said they was pointing fingers when it was time to be accounted. They was. When they got before God, they was passing the buck. He did, she did, no, you did. Yeah, see? That's what they're doing with sin today. But we have to be real with ourselves first that we've sinned against God. And like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit is there for that. The conviction of the unbelief that we have, that's what it's there for. Then we can repent. Oh, no, he didn't. Amen. And it affected all parties. I want everybody to see that. Everybody involved. Sin affects everybody. Yeah, everybody. Any questions? Any comments?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching, dear Lord. We enjoyed your word on knowing about sin, knowing the effects of sin, knowing the beginning of sin, and knowing how it has affected our lives and made most of us spiritually dead, Lord. Walking people that are dead. Dead people walking, we are today, dear Lord. Thank you for your simple gospel for us to take to this world to wake these people up and give them the spiritual life that they need only in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
They want to go higher than him.